If you're going to be spending thousands of pounds on an office space in central London, and you can't even get a mobile signal in your office space or workspace, what are you going to do?
Welcome back to the Word Bullet Podcast, where we chat with the leaders in commercial real estate to answer all questions of space as a service. This podcast is for anyone involved in commercial real estate in any way. If you're an investor, a fund manager, developer, property manager, agent, or broker, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm your host, Caleb Parker, and today I'm joined by Chris Boltwood from Workspace Group, PLC, to delve into the intricacies of workspace management and customer satisfaction in today's fast-evolving market. Chris is head of technology for Workspace Group and heads up all things technology, obviously, covering customer, corporate, and building technology strategies. His in-house teams look after systems innovation, operations, digital infrastructure, and customer connectivity. Before joining Workspace Group, Chris spent over a decade at Virgin Media, where he gained extensive experience in the telecoms and digital services sectors, working across both B2C and B2B commercial opportunities. Is the future of the office a network of locations? In this episode, Chris and I explore several fascinating topics, including adapting to changing customer needs for flexibility, tech's role when acquiring buildings, simplifying Wi-Fi access, the role mobile apps play to enhance the customer experience, improving sustainability and energy efficiency, and the next most important technology on the horizon. We also discussed the strategic control of coffee experiences within workspaces. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does coffee have to do with tech? Well, be sure to keep listening to find out. We get a bit granular in this one, which I'm sure will please those of you leaning into operational real estate, including the simplification of Wi-Fi access and the impact of ubiquitous connectivity. Speaking of connectivity, before we welcome Chris to the show, I want to first give a big shout out to our headline sponsor this season, Freshwave. Freshwave is the connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, making sure mobile phone signal works in office buildings. Freshwave has connected some of the biggest, most challenging wireless environments in the UK, and they can be found in over 2,000 buildings nationwide. And let me tell you from personal experience, Freshwave improves customer satisfaction in office buildings. Now, Jeff, let's kick it. Welcome to the Word Bullet Podcast, Chris.
Hey, Caleb. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's great to be here with you. I have seen your colleagues speak on panels in the past, but I've been into some of your locations, but I've never sat down with anyone from Workspace Group. So it's fantastic to sit here and have a chat with you. Obviously, give a big shout out to Freshwave, our headline sponsors, for hosting us today. We're in their offices in Farringdon, London, former HB Reavis building. Beautiful. We had some great coffee downstairs, Lo, didn't we?
Absolutely. A great way to start the day.
Definitely. And it actually kicked off a really interesting conversation, which ties back into Workspace Group. You guys had coffees and cafes in your, you know, receptions coming in, and you had it outsourced in the past, but you decided to take it on yourself and deliver that. So can you share with the audience why you did that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the key focus points for us is to have consistency across our estate, right? We've got 70 properties across London. And coffee is, as we said, a key part of starting your day. So we have some challenges around inconsistencies in the quality of the coffee, the quality of the experience that our customers were having. And we just identified some locations where it made more sense to take on that control and that responsibility. And now we have a whole barista team. Can't remember how many we have, but it's probably tens, if not up to 20 across the city. And that's expanding all the time. And feedback from customers is fantastic. So we take full ownership and control of even the coffee experience.
Well, I think that goes to the topic of knowing your customer and supporting that customer and giving them what they want. And coffee is such a big part of starting a day, and part of the entrepreneur sort of ethos even is to have that coffee. And even though we're in England and everybody likes tea, you still have to have coffee.
Actually, I'm half French, so I have an even more of a passion and appreciation for coffee myself. But yeah, everyone talks about how great the coffee is now in our centers, and that's really important to us.
Well, I have to bring up the French. I didn't know that. My friend Chris Early, who is part of the Freshwave team, his wife is French. And so now it's really cool to make that connection there. We'll have to practice my French later. You speak French, I assume, right?
Couramment, je parle français.
Okay, I'm done. Look, so the world has changed a lot in the past couple of years. That's an understatement. I'm curious, across your portfolio, you guys have supported SMEs from day one. What are you seeing today that's changed in what customers want?
Where to start? I mean, you know, if I look at it from, if I wind the clock back, say 3 or 4 years, what was changing then was really around ubiquitous connectivity. That was the main requirement that people, that was the main challenge we were faced, basically. So when we have beautiful, you know, design period properties across the capital. They're intrinsically difficult. So that connectivity requirement for SMEs, that mobility, that need to be able to move around the building, that actually started, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, if not slightly sooner. The technology is now caught up to deliver that. Sure, we can provide the experience that they expect. But the main changes more recently are probably more around how the space is used across our estate. So if we look at the profile of customers we have within the workspace portfolio, only 50% or slightly under would use that space in what we'd call a traditional office layout. So podcast rooms such as this, where we are sat today, would feature as part of a use of the space from our customers, photo studios, labs, etc. So when we think about workspace as a business center operator, it really is for businesses across all categories, and it's not really about the office. And if you think about post-COVID era, why do people come into central London anymore to go to an office? It's not to sit in front of their screens all day. And they can do that at home, right? So the formats and the layouts that we see even within the space for our customers has changed. And we allocate, you know, as I've mentioned to you before, 25 to 30% of our net lettable is communal area. And that communal area is used by our customers as much by businesses and guests who come and sit down in the wonderful cafes we have all day or certainly for an extended period. But our customers who take space from us, they genuinely use that communal area on a regular basis. So we've created this, I guess, community of customers who would potentially have bumped into each other previously. But now we have this new way of working where everything's more mobile. No one is anchored to their office space. They are using the whole office, the whole business center, I should say, whether it's a rooftop terrace at Kennington Park, our head office. We actually have a front of house terrace. You come and visit one day. In the summer, we've got barbecues. We've got people sat down working. It really is cool. I mean, it's a great vibe. But, you know, that's not an office. That's just a place to come and work. As I say, the work can vary massively, and that's what's really awesome about what we do, is that we provide that blank canvas for our customers to genuinely use their space however they see fit. And that for us is what we call truly flexible. So it's exciting to see.
You've said two words that I want to highlight. One is vibe and one is flexible. And I think that is the whole market is seeing right now that customers want. But there's one word that you didn't say, but you alluded to, and that is untethered. And I think the whole aspect of agile working, being untethered from our desk, being untethered from a location that's static, and being able to continue to be productive, to get our work done no matter where we are and go between places is super important. You know, connectivity is a theme of the season, naturally with our headline sponsor being Freshwave, and we'll take a break here to hear more from them.
Hi, how are you? Oh, can you hear me? Sorry, you're breaking up.
80% of mobile phone calls are made from inside buildings. And while energy-efficient building materials like low-E glass are good for the environment, they block mobile signal entering from outdoors. Poor indoor mobile signal can mean lower productivity for businesses, make buildings less appealing to prospective tenants, and ultimately impact the valuation of the building itself. Freshwave solves this problem. We deploy in-building mobile systems that connect directly to the mobile network you need, whether that's just one operator or four. This guarantees the quality of service. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
So we're back here with Chris talking about untethered. And I want to go granular on this a little bit. So you talk about the cafes and how anyone from the public can come in. You don't have to have a membership. You don't have to have an office. You can come into the cafe and grab a good coffee or tea and get your work done, meet other people. One of my pet peeves is when I go to a pub or a cafe, because I mobile work a lot, or a hotel often, O2 or whatever the Wi-Fi provider at the time, I've got to jump in and enter like my shoe size and my grandmother's name and everything just to get on the Wi-Fi. Are you guys requiring this at your cafes?
We used to. So we thought that was a really good way to capture visitor and guest information. What we found was it became a bit of a clunky experience for the guests and visitors of our customer. So we made the call a few years ago now to remove that. We offer the same level of connectivity to a cafe guest visitor that sits there for an hour or two as we do to our customers who are in our office space. And we do that for two reasons. One, we want to provide a ubiquitous connectivity experience, as I've mentioned. But also it helps advertise the quality of our connectivity, right? So when you are a small business or you're thinking of, co-working as a concept, the key element or key service that any of those providers give customers is the connectivity. And that clearly extends to mobile connectivity too. You don't have to sign in on a captive web portal to get a good mobile signal if you have, you know, an in-building solution. So it was key for us to unlock that and open it up. And it does vary. I mean, we have some business centers where we have people who literally hang out all day, consume coffee and eat and work, where people just pop in visiting for a short period. And again, it's the same experience. We want to provide the same service for both.
And, you know, Wi-Fi is certainly a key part of that connectivity. But then, you know, naturally, we've heard from Freshwave today, you're a customer of Freshwave. And not to make this all about Freshwave, but I have to point it out because in my experience, they've done wonders for us at 22 Bishopsgate. Why is it important to go beyond just providing a good Wi-Fi connectivity, but also the mobile signal, in your opinion?
So for us, our strategy around connectivity is that it is genuinely ubiquitous. So why is that important? Well, lots of reasons why that's important. And let me just explain how important it is to us and the focus we have on it. So we actually, because we own and operate the centers, the opportunity to invest that capital up front and budget for that capital up front at design stage. So we will have a building surveyed way before it's constructed by Freshwave to give us an idea of what risks there may be to the mobile connectivity when the building is complete. The reason that's important is, in our mind, we can't launch a business center where we have customers who are hypermobile, right? So I've said already that they don't sit at their desk most of the time. They are hypermobile business owners and operators, and their staff need that level of flexibility. Why is mobile as equally as important as Wi-Fi is that mobility. So we want people, guests, to be able to come into our spaces whenever they see fit and not have to log on to anything. So Wi-Fi absolutely has a place. But, you know, if I give you an example of a practical real-world scenario, we have customers on viewings looking at potential space that they may take from us. One of the first things they are likely to do is take their phone out, their mobile, and check if we have signal or not. That can be a game changer or deal breaker, I should say, during a viewing. If you're going to be spending thousands of pounds on an office space in central London, and you can't even get a mobile signal in your office space or workspace, what are you going to do? You're going to be pretty frustrated or even, you know, largely put off. For us, it has to be both. It has to be planned in advance.
So I'm going to segue a little bit because I want to pick up on something you just said about owning the buildings that you're in, and which is a game changer. I think when you're as a flex operator or a space as a service operator, being able to be in control of all the decisions and budgets and planning at the early stage. Often in the last 3 years, I've been talking to landlords, helping them future-proof their portfolios. And often the idea of space as a service comes way down late in the process. And the earlier you can get that in, the more of a difference it can make. So from your perspective, when you're looking at buying a building, taking those buildings in the funnel, looking at it, what are you looking at to make sure it is the right building to acquire for your estate?
So, I mean, I can't talk on behalf of our investment director. However, you know, in terms of from a technology perspective to some degree, and I'll cover a little bit beyond that. But ultimately, I look at literally technology foundations, right? So what's the level of connectivity for, I know covered connectivity, but it's still a key element. So what is the technology capability of that building that has to come into it? Because everything comes from that. You need that infrastructure in place before you can offer the levels of service, digital services, for example, that you may dream of in the future. You also want to clearly look at location, right? Our portfolio typically is structured in clusters. We'll have two or three properties that are dotted around that location. So in terms of finding and seeking opportunities for expansion, we clearly have lots of data that we analyze internally to understand where our gaps might be in the portfolio. And that tends to be a priority for us. I think equally a refurbishment where we add value. So we're massive on refurbishment. So we'll take a building which, you know, might be slightly run down, needs a bit of love, because we do have that model of capital investment as a key part of our strategy. We tend to have the ability, and this plays to the sustainability point too, right? So what we would typically aim for is a property that we can genuinely refurbish, not a property that we would have to knock down and rebuild. From a sustainability point, as I say, that's not ideal. But equally, we can add our magic, and that's really where our magic is in terms of the refurbishments. We will take an old warehouse, for example, and turn that into a modern business center with companies that do lots of different things. So I think for us, it's about identifying the right opportunity to add that refurbishment magic.
So now I want to talk about tenant engagement apps, because they were the rave a couple of years ago. There's been some M&A activity there. There's been a lot of money being raised. But from a mobile app perspective, how does that play into your strategy for your customers?
So for us, it's primarily around improving our level of engagement. So if we look at the way that, how we're different to a you know, a service office provider from that point of view. So the engagement that we have with our customers is primarily with the leasehold. There isn't as much contact as you'd have on a membership basis, right? So for us, it's an opportunity primarily to drive that level of engagement with not just the business owner and a few authorized individuals, relationship with us, but the whole team. And for us, that's hugely powerful.
And why is that important to you?
Well, because we really want customers to understand what's available. You know, advertising events over email is an old way to do things, right? The ability to talk about other companies, what they're up to, you know, the whole community feel that you typically see in a serviced office space is more challenging in our environment because we don't have individual memberships for everyone that's utilizing the space. So from our perspective, it's really about opening up and creating that awareness. What else is Workspace about? If you look at our buildings, they're not typically hyper-branded. There's some subtle branding, and we don't have, without that level of engagement that the app facilitates, it's very difficult to help share all of the other services which are available. So from our perspective, as I say, it is really about engagement and enhancing the day-to-day experience. So, you know, little things like having the menu on there, right? Things like accessing meeting rooms. So we have a meeting room booking facility, which we've had for years. We now have an ability to surface that through the app and provide that extra convenience for our customers.
But from an access control perspective, you're not necessarily unlocking doors with the app.
So we can unlock doors with the app, absolutely. So if we look beyond the communal space that we have across our business centers, clearly we have to have some access control. And we do have access control available through the app that we are trialing at Kennington Park and the light bulb. And really, that trial is part of it is to understand if people view that as a convenience or a barrier. And, you know, it's definitely, from our perspective, viewed as a convenience. It's much easier if you think about an onboarding process, for example, with a customer app that has integrated access control. You can provide a seamless onboarding experience.
So are you giving the customer then the choice so they can either use their mobile app for access control, come into the building and book into the meeting rooms, or they could get a key fob or a card or what the traditional way of coming into?
Yeah, there's always the option for a traditional card. I mean, as we know, some customers don't have the latest devices. You know, problematic compatibility with old legacy OS systems is challenging. So there's always the option for a physical card for sure. But it's interesting. We tend to see
hybrid access control instead of hybrid.
I mean, that's what we have today. I mean, but if you look at our adoption rate, so if we look at that, it's about 91 to 94% Kennington Park of customers that are using mobile access. And, you know, a part of that is providing that seamless onboarding experience. Because if it's just part of your registration with Workspace, when you think of it, as a comparative, my Workspace is a customer account management portal that sits within our system. Every business has to register with that to sign a deal with us, right? As part of our relationship management process, the sales process. It's just an extension of that. So say a lease is completed, that original contact from that company is provided a link to share with their colleagues. That link helps them register with Workspace at an individual level. The company only can choose whether they do that or not. But then those colleagues automatically from day one, after logging into the app for the first time, can access the building. That's a pretty cool way to start your journey. Rather than having to wait in a queue on a Monday morning to get your fob or key from the reception, it's already there on their phone ready to go. And that's cool. So, you know, that from a customer experience perspective adds a lot of value. But it's the engagement piece that really is the centerpiece, I should say, of the app. It's giving us that ability to genuinely share what we're about and what's available.
That makes sense. Last season, we had a chat with Lee Odess, who's Access Control Brief, and he sort of is helping connect all of the access control systems around the world with the operators and the different technology, hardware and software. And he said that in the past, access control used to keep people out, and now it's about getting the right people in, and it's becoming more of the integration, and the access control piece is becoming a feature versus a bug. And I think it's fascinating how you're taking the mobile app, and especially since you're not going heavy on the branding with the buildings, you're using the mobile app to actually engage customers with your brand. And so naturally, with a brand, as you grow your network, you guys have 70 sites, as you deliver that consistent experience across the 70 sites, it just becomes so impactful to be able to tell a customer, hey, with your app, you can access all of these locations. But how does that work for you guys? Are you enabling your customers to use the app to book meeting rooms and other sites around the estate?
So we provide access to all of our customers, to all of our properties, the minute they're a customer in any building. And, you know, the main thing that customers need when they are effectively roaming from one center to the other is access to Wi-Fi or connectivity. The app itself doesn't manage that. It's about enhancing the experience in that particular building. You can book meeting rooms online at any moment in any building, of course. And we are looking at extending the capability for the app to be used across the estate. But like I say, it's about making that in-building experience for customers a priority on the outset, and then it will be extended. So, you know, the Wi-Fi point is around management. So we provide managed Wi-Fi solutions across the entire estate. And what that means is, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when we were looking at how to get this right, it was around making about access as accessible as possible with as little friction as possible. And that's a challenge when you've got 70 sites. It's an even bigger challenge when you're working with the public who have infinite number of different devices. So part of my remit at Workspace is also to look at our corporate technology. I can tell you it's much more straightforward to manage Wi-Fi access for 300 colleagues using one device than managing access for 20,000 people using an infinite number of devices. But we figured that out, as I say, early on. So we, 4 or 5 years ago, not before then, we decided to manage the Wi-Fi for all of our customers across the estate. What that means in reality is you can be a customer at the Kennington Park Business Center, but go and visit any other property across the estate and log on immediately the minute you get into that building.
That's a big value bomb.
So that does that mean that I have to put in my username and password when I get there, or does that mean it remembers my device from site to site?
Yeah, it knows who you are. There's no putting of any credentials whatsoever.
See, that to me, that's magic. And you know, it's and I say that kind of funny, but as an end user, if I go into a Starbucks and then I go to the next Starbucks and I don't have to go through this whole form field and it just puts me online, fantastic. That doesn't happen.
It's even better than that, actually. So if you are a customer within the Kennington Park Business Center and you're in Unit 3, you can be anywhere in the building and you still have access to your local network in Unit 3. So you can go and work on the roof terrace, but you're still connected to your network. If you have one, some people don't, but if you have a local network in your unit, in your space, you still access that from anywhere. When you go to a different workspace building, you still have access to the internet, but zero registering or logging in. For us, that's the most important part about having access to different buildings, because again, communal space allocation that we've got, there's plenty of space for customers to sit typically in any workspace property and just get on and work.
Well, this has been a fun conversation. I appreciate being able to geek out a little bit on some of this technology, because to me, the technology is a big part of space as a service. It's one of the key pillars. And we've got a lot of new technology coming out, being talked about, generative AI, all kind of AI, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into all that. I want to hear from you. What do you think is the next most important thing when it comes to technology for our industry?
One way to use AI is to use the consumption data that they are generating from their consumption and start making some predictions around using AI, how a small change within the unit can influence their score. The use case for AI within ESG and how it helps our customers is largely around us helping them identify the impact of some of the decisions that they may make within their space. So, you know, we can surface the information. We don't do this yet. We would look to surface the information about their consumption. There are different ways that we can do that. The app can be used to surface that information. We have smart meters across the estate, which customers can log into to understand their consumption. But it's really around using that data and cross-referencing it with decisions that they make.
So Chris, we're going to end this on a bit of a lighter note. You've got 70 properties. You've been Workspace for some time now. What's your favorite location?
So my favorite, that's a really difficult question, and I should have prepared an answer. But the building which resonates the most with me is a building called the Metal Box Factory, which is on the South Bank, for two reasons. One, it was the first wide-score platinum building that we had across the estate. And it was the first building that I ever visited when I first joined Workspace.
Chris, you mentioned Wired Score. Give a shout out to Sanjay. In the episode with him, we talked about how landlords need to retrofit. They need to bring buildings back up to sustainable standards. And where does connectivity fit into that? Because it's so expensive to make sure you tick all the boxes in that repurposing. So how are you guys managing bringing your buildings up to the right BREEAM scores, but also hitting the connectivity and all these competing agendas?
So when we're designing and refurbishing and redeveloping new buildings, we always aim for a platinum wide score rating. What that does is it focuses the mind of the team to ensure that whilst we're making our properties green and BREEAM compliant, we're also considering the connectivity expectations And that's the point in which we start working with someone like Freshwave to understand what might be needed from a mobile signal solution to launch that building, not just with green great credentials, but also with connectivity for us.
So it's not really competing agendas, it's actually complementary agendas.
Yeah, we work together. So we used to compete, let's say. Now we see the value in collaborating.
This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights with us, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Mobile signal inside buildings is a must-have, and connectivity infrastructure as a service provider, Freshwave, delivers it with flexible commercial terms that suit you. From landlord-funded mobile systems to pay-as-you-occupy, or a mixture of the two, we work with you to deliver the digital connectivity you and your building needs. So whether you're a real estate developer, landlord, or tenant, we'll make sure you're on. Visit freshwavegroup.com to find out more.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And remember, fortune favors the bold. Drumroll, please. P.S. If you want to find out about future-proofing your portfolio, head over to newflex.com.
Attention business owners, my name is Jason Allen Scott, and I've got a game-changing opportunity. At least I think it is, and so do my clients. Are you ready to build a wildly successful business from your podcast, or use your podcast to increase the success of your business? Why not try Podcasting for Business, the ultimate program to monetize your message and skyrocket your success? I'll work closely with you to refine your business model, revenue streams, and messaging, ensuring your podcast becomes a powerful tool for driving growth and generating income, just like we've done for so many clients before. As a seasoned podcasting coach, I've helped countless entrepreneurs transform their podcasts into thriving, profitable ventures. Our unique hybrid coaching model combines online learning with personalized one-to-one coaching calls. Together, we'll fine-tune your podcast's business potential, creating a clear roadmap to success that aligns with your goals and vision. Don't miss this opportunity to transform your podcast into a profitable business. Visit podcastingforbusiness.co today and take the first steps towards unlocking your podcasting potential. Let's build something special together.